Welcome to the East Surrey Bump to Birth podcast, hosted by myself, Emma, and my wonderful friend, Becca. This podcast is dedicated to parents-to-be and new families in the East Surrey area, providing a wealth of knowledge and support through the exciting journey of pregnancy and birth.
Join us as we discuss everything from prenatal care and childbirth education to navigating the challenges of life with a new baby. We'll be joined by guest expert speakers, including midwives, doulas, breastfeeding experts, nutritionists, and more, who will share their insights and expertise to help you make informed decisions and feel confident in your choices.
Whether you're a first-time parent or a seasoned pro, the East Surrey Bump to Birth podcast has something for everyone. With a focus on empowering parents, we will help you feel calm, confident, and supported through your pregnancy and birth journey. So tune in and get ready to be inspired. Hello, Becca.
Oh, hi, Emma. How are you doing?
I'm not too bad, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, very well. A bit of an eventful weekend, I think.
Yeah.
I'll quickly explain. So, Father's Day, I did an Instagram Live all about how birth partners can support, which is what we're going to talk about on today's episode.
It is indeed.
Which went really well. But there was a bit of drama afterwards, which your husband came to my rescue.
He did.
So my bedroom door has been iffy for a while. The door handle's been really, really iffy. And, of course, the wind blew the door shut, and I couldn't get out. I was actually trapped in my bedroom. Actually couldn't get out. And, of course, what made it worse was I was busting for a wee. And, of course, psychologically, once you know you need a wee and you know you can't escape, you're
There's
thinking...
There's no stopping that.
Oh, it's awful. So, luckily, your husband came to the rescue because we live next door. Well, we live a few doors down from each other.
Yeah.
So, and him and my husband had to barge the door down, basically, in order to get me out.
Nice bit of manly door smashing in for them. Way to make them feel like dads on Father's Day.
Exactly. So, it was a bit of an eventful Father's Day and thankfully, I did escape, otherwise I wouldn't be here today.
Yeah, you're not still trapped in your bedroom on a Thursday.
On a Thursday. So, yes, a bit eventful, but otherwise all good.
Good, I'm glad. But, yeah, as you said, we are going to talk about tips for birth partners today. Because, yeah, I tend to find we get lots and lots of women doing lots and lots of preparation, and then the birth partners, who are typically dads, you know, obviously lots of different options of who you have as a birth partner, but actually, it doesn't matter.
Birth partners, I feel like, especially if it's the first baby, I think birth partners can feel a bit overwhelmed, a bit, you know, taken back by it all. And actually, by birth partners, you know, learning about what they can do before the birth and things they can do, it gives them that bit of confidence on the day.
Definitely.
To go, okay, I've been preparing for this, I know what to do. Gives them that confidence and feeling positive on how to help mum. Because like you say, we do a lot for mum, and mum learns a lot. But it's important for the birth partners to know what to do and understand what to do as well. And so they feel included as well.
Included, but also, like, our emotion, our mood is contagious. Like, if you're in a room with somebody who is anxious and stressed, you feel that vibe. Like,
of course you do.
It's tangible. And if you are in labour and you feel really prepared and calm and cool and collected, but you have a really unprepared birth partner who is starting to flap and freak out because they don't know what they're doing, that is going to rub off on you quite quickly.
Of course it is. Because you think, oh, they're anxious. That means I need to be anxious then?
Exactly.
Because they look worried. And also just helps them to prepare for throughout the labour if things pop up or questions are asked or midwives come in and say we need to discuss something. If birth partners have a clue about what they're talking about, again, they can feel, oh, I know what she means. Yep, I've learned about this.
Yes,
I know what's going
much
on. So, yes, we thought let's give some tips for birth partners so they can feel positive about it and, prepared as well as mum is.
Yeah, and it's about preparing during pregnancy as well. Like, these aren't just things for you to do on the day, waiting for labour to start. You need to be involved in the pregnancy, getting yourself prepared.
Yeah.
So, first tip is relaxations. If the person having the baby has done any kind of hypnobirthing, positive birth preparation, really anything, most kind of antenatal courses are going to involve some kind of relaxation, but particularly hypnobirthing.
Yeah.
It is really important that you understand as the birth partner, how that works, why it works, and actually have experienced it yourself.
Definitely. I mean, the great thing about practicing relaxation, so when we say relaxations, we mean that there's relaxation scripts that you can read to mum. Normally they're very straightforward, nothing complicated, not too long. And the great thing about relaxations is if you practice them during pregnancy, by the time birth comes around, when you read a relaxation script to mum, if that's what she wants, when you read a relaxation script to mum on the day, it's a trigger.
Yeah.
So mum's subconscious will go, oh, yes, I've heard this script before, mm-hmm. and I associate this with relaxation.
Yeah.
And that short trigger will then help mum to relax, because she'll associate that script with all the times you've practiced it throughout pregnancy. So it's a really good relaxation trigger for mum to go, I recognise this and I associate this with relaxation. And that's why they are so effective, because the more you practice them, the more they go in and the more mum associates them with relaxation.
Yes, and also hearing it in your voice. You are a voice that will make her feel safe, loved, protected. Hearing the voice on an audio track, which, you know, most courses will give you some kind of audio track, but obviously that's a stranger's voice. It might be your instructor, it might be a complete other stranger. But when she's in labour, that voice isn't going to go in as well as your voice. Oh. She has heard your voice. She is comforted by it. It's a whole extra level of her feeling cozy.
Yeah.
Is the voice of a person she loves.
Exactly. And if anything else, you know, I think it's a real oxytocin booster.
Yeah, definitely.
Because even if you're reading the script, you know, sometimes it might even give mum a bit of the giggles, you know, because I've heard before where, you know, the birth partner's doing it and it might give her a bit of a giggle because, you know, whatever reason, and that is still an oxytocin booster and still a relaxation. So even if, you know, you read one and perhaps mum at the end has a bit of a giggles, it's still going to help relax her and still it's done its job.
Yeah,
exactly. But practicing that during mum's pregnancy, give it a go, because the more you practice, you know, the more beneficial it's going to be,
the more comfortable you'll feel doing it as well.
Exactly.
Like, we read relaxation scripts as part of our courses, and the first couple of times you do that does feel a little bit weird.
It does,
because it's a bit of getting used to.
You're not, you know, people are not used to doing it.
No.
You know, it's not something you do on a daily basis, and you don't, you know, the only knack to it, really, there's no special way of reading them, there's no, you don't have to do it in a certain way, but the only tip really is to speak calmly and not to read them too fast.
Yeah,
and that's it. That really is it. There's no other special requirement to read a relaxation script. It's just sound calm and don't read too fast.
Yeah.
That's it.
Exactly. Right, so tip number two.
Oh, big one here.
Right, go on then, Becca, you lead with
it. It's breathing.
Yeah.
And as simple as it sounds, it is really, really effective.
Oh,
really effective.
If there's one thing that you can go into labour with, breathing techniques is...
It's the biggest thing I would say to anyone is the brief. You can help mum do her breathing, that will be the biggest thing over anything else, really, because the more you know, if she does her breathing effectively, she's going to calm herself down, she's going to let her body calm down, her mind calm down, and that is above anything else, really.
Definitely,
isn't it?
Definitely. And she will have practiced them, she'll know them, she'll practice them, but actually in labour, especially once a woman really gets into kind of the throes of active labour, something changes. There is a shift. The hormones are high. Women kind of go in on themselves.
Get in the zone, don't we?
Yeah, completely in the zone. And actually, all of the learning and preparing that they've done is going to be way back in the back of their mind. They aren't necessarily going to have those breathing techniques at the forefront of their mind to remember to do. They're going to need some prompting to remind
Absolutely.
Them.
Prompt mum. Do it, and also do it with her. So don't just remind her, but actually do the breathing with her.
Talk then her through them.
That will encourage her to do it. So actually sit there with her, hold her hand if she likes her hand being held, and just say, right, let's do it together and do the breathing with mum.
Yeah, so understand how it works. Understand what the counts are, so that you feel really confident in that moment. You are her coach in that moment. You need to talk her through it and get her through that contraction.
Yeah.
that's your role. And if you don't know what those breathing techniques are, you're going to be very little help in that moment, I'm afraid. So definitely know them, practice them yourself, see how they feel.
Exactly.
How do you feel when you do those breathing techniques?
Because I was about to say, these breathing techniques that you learn are actually for anybody to use.
Yeah.
They're for everybody. They're not just for women in labour. Actually, they are a de-stressor that everybody can use on a daily basis. And actually, one of the things we both say to people is we use them in everyday life as well. Yeah. So when we're feeling stressed or anxious, or, you know, we can feel our fright or flight mode for any reason whatsoever, these breathing techniques are for everybody to use to calm down and de-stress. Yeah. They're not just for labour. So actually, they're beneficial for a birth partner anyway, for everyday life.
Yeah, you're about to have a baby. That baby's going to grow into a toddler, and then into a child, and then into a teenager. There will be many moments beyond labour that your fight or flight response is triggered by your child.
Exactly. Everyday life.
And the ability to switch that down a little bit will come in handy, I promise you. And it's things that you can then teach your children.
Absolutely.
My kids know when they're getting stressed out, I ask them to breathe. Okay, do I quite count them through a breathing technique for birth? Not quite, but it's a variation of that is a bit simpler
it's the
and
same,
they know how to do.
It's the same format. It's the same format, and it works for everybody. It really. I mean, actually, I used it when I got trapped in the bedroom on Father's. I did.
Good.
I thought, okay, I'm not going to get worked up here. I'm going to get out eventually. I'm not So let's use my breathing to calm down until I get out. And actually, it did help. Good. It did help. So it's... Breathing technique is not just great for birth, but it's great for everybody. So birth partners, practice that with mum during pregnancy, because it will be good for you on a daily basis anyway, especially if you're feeling a bit stressed.
Definitely. So on to tip number three, and this is about birth planning. Birth planning in itself is a whole huge conversation that we will probably do another episode on at some point, because it's a big chat. But I would say the crux of it is... Birth plans are important, not from a standpoint of I want A, B and C, and that is how my birth is going to go. The beauty of a birth plan is in the planning itself. It's doing the research, it's understanding the options, it's knowing what options you do and don't like the sound of.
Yep.
If you can't have A, what is your backup plan sort of thing? And there is very little use in the woman herself doing that alone, because again, when she's in labour, she's gone into her zone, she's vulnerable, she's maybe tired, she's having contractions every few minutes, she needs somebody to advocate for her.
Absolutely. I was about to say act as a voice.
Yeah,
act as a voice.
That is you.
Exactly. So if you can sit there and do the birth plan together, and your partner, the mum, says to you, right, this is our plan, sit there with her and go through it, and anything you don't know, research together if there's anything you're unsure about, or speak to the midwife or your birthing team to say we've got a question about X, Y and Z, and actually really learn the plan together. Because like Emma says, when mum is in the zone, she's not going to be thinking about her birth plan, she's just going to be concentrating on the surges. So if you know mum wants something and mum at that moment hasn't got it, you can feature to, oh, okay, she did say to me that she wanted a water birth, and at the moment, she's not in the pool.
Yeah.
So actually, I'm going to ask if she wants it and get that prepared for her. So I'm going to go speak to the midwife and ask, can we get the pool going? She's not going to necessarily think about asking for that while she's concentrating on her breathing. But if you know that's in her birth plan, you can go off and say, oh, can we get this sorted, please?
Definitely.
So by doing that, you've already supported mum.
Yeah,
because, you know,
definitely. And understanding why she wants those things, like with the water pool example, what appeals to her so much about that? What are the benefits of a water birth? Because let's say, for example, for some reason the pool isn't available at that moment, they take about 45 minutes to fill, say you're in a room that doesn't have one, whatever it is, then you know she wants a water birth, you know what the benefits are, so the warming water being a pain relief, things like that, you can start thinking, okay, what else can I do in the meantime?
Yeah,
let's get a shower running.
Yeah,
you can do some of that thinking because you understand it's not as simple as, I don't know, she said she wants a water birth, I don't know why.
Understanding why,
you can help achieve that in any way possible, even if it isn't as straightforward as, yep, here's a pool, in you get.
Yeah, and really it's just a way, so if you understand what her wishes are and what her do's and don't wants are, if she really is in the zone and somebody comes in and wants to ask her a question or disturb her, if it's something you know the answer to, you can answer for her so mum doesn't have to be disturbed. Obviously, there's circumstances where mum's got to be disturbed because, but in instances where you think, well, actually, I know the answer to that, I can answer that for her, and then she hasn't got to be brought out of her, you know, out of her zone.
Snapped
out of it. So that's the benefits of learning a birth plan together as well and doing it together.
Yeah. And something I always teach my couples to build into their birth plan is to think about epidurals. So I'm saying this from an assumption that you're not planning to have one. If you're planning to have one, then you'll have already decided that. It'll already be in the birth plan. Yeah. You're already golden and sorted with that.
Yeah.
So I'm talking more specifically is if your partner having a baby isn't planning on having an epidural, I get a lot of questions from the birth partners about, well, what if she changes her mind?
Mm.
How do I, she says she doesn't want it, how do I support her? And it is really normal in labour for women to have wobbles and also to change their minds. And
Absolutely.
How do you know as the birth partner if it's the right thing to encourage her to carry on without an epidural because that's what she had said that she wanted? And when do you support her by going, okay, no, she's changed her mind, I will go and support that. So what I tell couples to do is have a safe word for epidural. Make it whatever you want. Make it pineapples. I don't know. But have a word so that she is able to ask for your support in labour. Maybe she's saying, I want an epidural, but actually what she's saying is, I need your reassurance. I need other things to make me more comfortable, help me feel more comfortable. Or has she truly reached a point where she said, no, I'm tired.
Yeah.
I'm in pain.
Yeah.
The next right step for me, even though I wasn't planning it, is to have an epidural.
And saying that word then.
Saying pineapple, and then you know.
She really means it.
She means it. And then you can support her in that. There's no more, don't worry, you're doing so well, you can carry on without it. Your next step is, right, okay, I will go find the midwife and start the ball rolling on that.
Yeah, that's then a good tip.
Afterwards, if she goes, why did you let me have an epidural? You've got that backup to go, no, you meant it. You might not remember now, hormones are crazy, you look back on birth and you can't remember most of it. But you are there to go, no, you were sure. You said pineapples, it was time to support you in that. And then you both know that that decision came around in the right way and it was definitely something she wanted and there's no kind of confusion about it.
Yeah.
Takes away some of that guilt factor.
Exactly. No, very good tip.
Yeah, I like that one.
Very good tip. And something actually my husband loved to do, because my husband loves anything to do with maps and anything to do with any of that side of things, is actually plan the route to hospital. So if you know you're going to be driving mum to hospital, what some birth partners love to do is think, okay, let's plan the route to hospital depending on the time of the day. So, because obviously you don't know when she's going to go into labour and when she needs to go to hospital. It could be 1 in the afternoon, it could be 3 in the morning. You know, there's no schedule when it comes to labour.
No.
So if you actually write a route, think, okay, if she goes into labour at 1 in the afternoon, there could be some traffic, I'll take those back roads. If it's 3 in the morning, it should be all clear, I can use the main roads, no traffic. So actually do a plan, a route to hospital depending on the time of the day, so that when it happens, you're not going to be in a flurry and go, oh God, okay, what's my route? I don't know what route I'm going. If you have it all planned, that's going to really help you and her, because again, you're both not anxious. Or she's already going to be having a bit of an adrenaline because she's thinking, I'm on my way to hospital.
It's
natural. It's not. And that's when a lot of mums get that adrenaline because they think, oh, change of scenery. I'm about to go to hospital. Oh, it's really happening. So you need to keep her calm during that time, especially on the route to hospital. So if you feel calm and think, nope, I know where I'm going, I know, she can sense that from you.
Yeah, there's no need to rush.
Absolutely
there's
not.
No rush. Labour takes a while, birth takes a while, unless she is saying, I am about to have this baby, in which case maybe don't get in the car. Maybe call maternity triage and come up with a different plan. But as long as she is not literally about to give birth, you have time.
That's right. Don't cause an accident.
You don't need to rush. It will not benefit either of you. Take it slow.
Yeah.
Avoid the potholes. She won't appreciate going over the
speed
potholes.
Bumps, nice and slow.
Nice and slow. Take it calm. Get there nice and smooth.
And these videos where you see videos of, oh, mum gave birth in the car, you know, and you see all these YouTube videos of mum in the passenger seat with newborn in her hands. that is so, so rare.
Yeah.
Very, very rare. And the reason they're on YouTube is because it's so rare, yeah, because people like to boast about it and go, oh, look, I had my baby in the car. But seriously, do not take any notice of those videos. No. It's very, no, very, very rare.
It's very likely also that those women, when they got into the car, were very close to having their babies and were probably already feeling an urge to push. Yeah. If she says that I'm pushing, I feel like I need a poo, yeah, anything like that, ring the maternity triage number in your notes before you head in.
Absolutely.
The reality might be it's safe for you to stay where you are. If there's a home birth midwife available or a paramedic, they'll send them out to you.
Yeah.
So that you give birth in the comfort of your front room, your bed, your bathroom, wherever, not on the side of the A217.
Yeah.
Preferably, please.
But labour takes a long time, so trust me, it's not going to happen in the car.
No.
No. Unless, like Emma says, she really is in the pushing stage, which will be very unlikely, it's not going to happen in the car, so don't panic.
And then I think our final tip for today, we'll probably come back another time and give you some more tips for during labour itself, but this is all about the preparation.
Yep.
I bet you any money that your partner that is going to have a baby has a list on her phone, computer, notebook, somewhere. She's downloaded about 3. There will be a list that says hospital bag. It will be packed plenty of weeks before she's ever going anywhere near a hospital. A great deal of thought,
yep,
and planning will have gone into her hospital bag.
Her and baby.
And the baby's hospital bag.
Yeah.
What we're asking is you put in some thought to your hospital bag.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, East Surrey made, they did a video recently and said that birth partners, just the one, by the way, not anymore, but one birth partner,
yeah,
can now stay with mum the whole time and even stay overnight now, because obviously during COVID,
postnatally,
yes, because obviously during COVID, partners had to go home by 8 p.m. or something and weren't allowed back to follow.
Yeah.
But that's changed now, and birth partners can now stay all throughout the night post after baby's born. So yeah, if mum has to stay in hospital for a few days, there is the option for the birth partner to stay with her the whole time, including, yes, during the night now. You know, obviously it depends on circumstances. If you already get a child at home, chances are birth partner's going to have to go home anyway. But
yeah,
if this is your first baby,
you
might well want to stay while she's there. And that's the case, you're going to need stuff in your bag, such as overnight clothes, you know, yeah, change of socks, change of pants, toothbrush.
Yeah.
Anything that you think, if you're going, imagine you're going away for a few days and you think, yeah, what would I need to pack if I'm going away? Phone charger?
Yeah.
Anything like that, really.
And even if you don't end up staying in after baby's born, the likelihood is you are going to be there for probably a good 12-ish, possibly more hours whilst your partner is in labour anyway. Mm. You're there for a little while, so prepare for it. Really importantly, I always say snacks.
Snacks, about to say that, yeah.
Snacks. Bring, yeah, food. There is a cafeteria, there are vending machines, etc., etc. But when your partner is like in the grips of labour, you aren't going to be wanting, she isn't going to be wanting, nope, you to go, oh, do you know what, I'm hungry, I'm just going to pop down to the cafeteria and get myself some chips. Because the likelihood of you missing a really vital moment is small, but you won't be there to being her support. You are going to want to be staying with your partner as much as possible. So yep, bring food. Because there is nothing worse or less helpful than a hangry birth partner.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And also, you need your sugar levels to be up,
yeah,
anyway. Because
yeah,
if you're
for the long haul as well.
Yeah, if you're there supporting mum, there's no point in you sitting in the corner falling asleep,
no,
because you've had nothing to eat or drink for 6 hours.
Yeah.
So you need to have you need to be hydrated, yeah, and have your sugar levels up as well, so you can be there to support her. So when you're keeping her hydrated during labour, keep yourself hydrated as,
yeah,
well. Because hospitals can be quite warm,
dear,
as well.
God, it's so
warm. Especially during the summer,
hospital,
when there's a heat wave.
It is hot.
Most hospital wards are really warm, so it's very easy to get dehydrated quite quickly,
yeah,
quite thirsty. So make sure that both of you are hydrated, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think a lot of birth partners forget about eating themselves and drinking themselves,
yeah,
and then they think, oh, suddenly I'm really thirsty or tired,
yeah,
or hungry, or,
yeah,
you know.
For you to be the best help, you need to be on top form as well. Look,
absolutely,
after yourself. But yeah, and the more practical things like a change of clothes, things like that. Because again, even if you don't stay, if you end up holding baby within the sort of first hour or so after they're born, if mum needs a break or just wants you to hold them for a bit, you know, babies aren't, they don't come out super sparkly clean. There might be a little bit of mess involved. You might not want to be walking around with a bit of vernix on your t-shirt for the rest of the day. So a couple of spare things.
My daughter was covered in vernix. So that's the sort of the white coating that sometimes babies are born in. But she was covered in it. So I think he ended up getting some on his t-shirt.
Maybe the clothes you're not super precious about. It's not a fashion show either.
No, you don't have to dress smart. No shirt and tie. No, it's not you're going to work. It really is put on your joggers, your t-shirt.
I always like a zip-up hoodie, something like that, so that then if for some reason mum isn't able to hold the baby after they're first born, you are the next best option for skin to skin. So if you're not happy sitting there, you wouldn't feel comfortable without a t-shirt on, having something like a zip-up hoodie that you can expose your chest so you can have skin to skin with little one is always a good option.
I think you're right. I think that's, so today was all about what birth partner can do leading up to birth, but we'll do a whole other episode about how you can support mum during birth. That's a whole new different episode. We've also excitingly got our first guest speaker.
We do indeed.
Hopefully next week. So we will keep you updated about that. But we'll tell you more next week.
Yeah, absolutely.
But have a good week, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for tuning in to the East Surrey Bump to Baby podcast today. If you have any topics you'd like us to cover in the upcoming episodes, please do get in touch. You can find me, Becca, at Be Your Own Birth on www.beyourownbirth.co.uk, and you can also find me on Facebook and Instagram.
And you can find me, Emma, at Calm Mama Collective, www.calmmamacollective.co.uk, and on Instagram I am calmmama_hypnobirthing. We'll see you next time.